There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
Love your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes. Kissel, I know that you're scared of your river trip.
I have a river trip coming up and I'm absolutely horrified. Your assessment is correct.
You're going to be on a river, but I also
for
love
3 days.
It's so funny.
What am I in the movie Deliverance?
How does one be on a river without a boat for 3 days? I don't know. But number two,
it's a tub.
I love the physical advice you've been getting from our other fat friends that say stuff. And I'm just going to say Ed Larson's advice where he's just like, you just got to lift your feet up. And go with the river. Being like, do you know how much speed, number one, Kissel will build up just being on the river? Because
bro,
you will shoot
I don't even
on the edge
about,
of a waterfall like a log, like the old big sodden rock-filled logs.
Yes, absolutely.
And also, you have to remember to keep your feet up. At all times, you got to go turtle.
I can't wait. I'm hanging out with two old high school friends I haven't seen in 20 years. One of them I haven't seen in 20 years. The other ones I see very rarely. But then it's other 15 other people, and it's 3 days on a raft. And everyone
wait.
Just tells me it's going to be chill. But as Henry and I
chill.
Were talking about before the
this
show.
This word chill.
They don't know what chill means.
They don't know.
We're
it was
podcasters.
The same thing. On that Hawaiian hike we took to the top of the volcano, they also said the word chill.
Chill.
And don't
no.
they understand? Don't they understand that chill is the temperature of a corpse.
Yeah, we'll get
and
to that.
I'm eliminating that word because people don't know what it means.
No, they don't. Absolutely not. But I can't wait. I'm going to go explore the most beautiful place in the world, which I've heard is Boulder Junction, Colorado.
It's going to be so nice to be terrified in all of these wonderful natural landscapes.
We'll get to the show. This is Side Stories. I am Ben. I was talking with my friend Josh, who set up the entire trip, and I was like, you remember how big I am, right? He's like, oh, yeah, Kissel, don't worry.
Yeah.
I put you down as two people. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, kind of offensive, but you know what? It is what it is, and thank you.
By weight, you are a they.
Absolutely.
That is incredible. I can't wait till the next side stories when we hear what this was like, because our next side stories will be after your trip, which you go right into our live show
yeah.
at Red Rocks, our biggest live show we've ever done.
That's
we had
great
3,200
timing.
People.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to see what you're at, because honestly, the sympathy we'll get from you in a wheelchair might be really nice.
This could be great. This is how we sell the show.
This is it.
That would be perfect.
Because, but the one thing, though, is it ruins our silhouette, because then you'll be the same height as me.
Well, I don't think people will even give a shit. All right. Well, I'm very excited. And so at this side stories, we have a bunch to talk about. And then next side stories, the Red Rock show will be completed. And I can't wait to tell everyone about how that one person threw up on that other person. And it started a whole wave of vomit. I can't wait to tell you.
I just can't wait to see you covered in reeds.
Oh, my God.
There's just so much mud in your shoes.
I am a masculine man in some ways. But those ways do not entail anything that is traditionally masculine.
You like beef.
Yeah.
That's the main way.
I'm a man. I got a truck and I'm a man. But you're going to see very quickly that I also have lower back pain.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm going to need some lumbar support.
But you're going to need to wear something other than the tracksuit or like something like that. Because it's too soft and soakable.
I'll drown. I'll be like, if you throw Puffin into the pool, there's no way he can get out just because of the fur.
Yeah. You need some kind of wetsuit.
Don't worry, buddy. I'm stopping by Target later on today, and I am going to get everything.
Look out, Target.
Watch out. I have to stay fully clothed because...
The sticks and the rocks and the sun.
To get in your butt and to get in your pee hole. Well, speaking of not being fully clothed, man, this story out of Ocala, this is just classic. The world is opening up.
It really is. We're finally... You can just feel life returning
you
to
can.
Normal.
And the world is almost opening up like a bloomin' onion. And where do you get said bloomin' onion?
Inside of a crazy woman's pants? This is...
That's only Courtney Love, and that's called the bloomin' prune. This story takes place in an Outback Steakhouse in Ocala. This woman was absolutely hammered. And what do you do when you're hammered? You get all hot.
I gotta get
naked and be free, bro.
I have liked to take my shirt off when I'm sober more often than I even do when I'm intoxicated.
That is true.
This woman went all the way down to her toe pads. This is from Ocala. Of course it's from Ocala. We'll start with this. Naked Ocala woman tased after destroying Outback and a Moho Grill in what they call, I want to say the police labeled this as a rampage. Because I don't know. Because it just.
I don't know. Can a 53. So this woman is 53. Her name is Tina Kindred. She's 53. And actually, not to anything, but she's kind of cute.
She's cute. And she's very small.
Very tiny. So I'm just wondering, can she go on a rampage? Or are these officers being a little hyperbolic?
Well, her name's Tina Kindred, 53 years fun. She stated that apparently she was topless and bottomless. There is video of it, and she is behind the bar at an Ocala. She can barely see over the top.
Yes.
Which is, it's kind of cute. It's kind of like a Looney Tunes cartoon where you just kind of see a flurry of activity, just hands and the top of a brunette woman's head.
It's very Tasmanian Devil is now a bar back and he's doing a horrible job.
But that's where I see the rampage part, because the bottles are slinging out at the cops and they're like, ma'am, ma'am, please, ma'am. And then she emerges from the side of the bar. We get the full frontal of her. She's going, ratcha, 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 ratcha. She's literally making those types of cartoon noises.
So hammered.
She's mumbling. She might be hammered. I don't know what she's doing, but she is throwing bottles everywhere. And I think that's where you'd say the rampage is a lot of broken glass.
Yes, but then that's true.
They tase the living shit out of her.
They did. So Kindred lowered to the floor and the officer used 1 5-second cycle with Taser 7 and Kindred put her arms behind her back. And that was basically the end of the event.
I want to put this to our audience. Would you rather be tackled by the police or tased? What do you think is worse for you physically? Like, would you rather have him, like, because we were talking about this.
For a lady of this size, if she gets tackled by a big broody cop, dude, she could break a whole series of body parts.
You could really hurt her, right? Yeah. So I think that in a way, even though it's not, maybe that's why in my mind we need net guns.
I love the idea of a net gun.
If you throw a net on her, right, that saves her, that saves you. You could just cinch up the net. She tires herself fighting inside of the net.
Sure.
And then she goes to sleep.
I think that's such a fantastic idea. It's about tiring them out. This woman, she wasn't on any narcotics, but she was super stoned on THC, evidently. So I think she had a couple of mojitos.
Wait a second. We're blaming weed for this?
No, I don't think. I'm not blaming weed for what she did. I might blame weed for her entering an Outback Steakhouse to begin with.
I mean, when it comes down to it, you're just in the mood for a Bloomin' Onion.
Exactly. Which, by the way, everyone listening, breaking news, folks. The Blooming Onion is actually the worst thing you can get at any restaurant. I think it has more calories and more fat than anything else.
It's not that good, and they've lost touch.
Even if you make the joke, guess I'm eating my vegetables, it doesn't actually make it healthier.
It doesn't, and honestly, I might even know this Outback in Ocala. And
have you been kicked out of there,
touch,
too?
Man. Yeah, Outback is losing some of its, I'm going to use the other name, some of its mojo when it comes to even serving sizes, because I think legally they were forced to make the Bloomin' Onion smaller because people were dying.
Interesting. So Kindred, she said she chose the Mojo Grill because the owner, she felt, was, quote, not honest. And then the owner was like, yo, you can't come in here. He denied her business. And then she got super mad. So then she started turning over tables. So the question is, do you just be like, all right, man, come here, sit down, shut up, here's your drink, shut up. Or do you anger this Tasmanian devil of a middle-aged woman?
Is she pussy out by then?
I think that her pussy came out through all of the fun. Like, when you're flipping over tables, what's next? You got to start taking off clothes. I mean, you know what I'm saying.
You know, bras take a minute of a thought
She
to take
did not
off.
Go out with a bra. She was maybe this not. This is 5 days of a bender.
You're right.
She hasn't seen a bra since 1983.
I must be wrong. I must be wrong. But the idea of taking all your clothes off to me, because you have to sit and decide to do it, unless you're in a fight. Because you ever watch those like fights on YouTube where like titties pop out or whatever? You watch things. It's like, because titties they're going to slide all right. What are those? The wrestling pornos, right? But also the ones where they are just street fighting and their boobies pop out of their shirts and stuff. That's just because of the chaos.
Yeah.
Right? And they're getting pulled on. They're getting dragged on. Where it seems like if you are completely nude, you stop. At some point during your, again, I'm going to use the term rampage.
Sure.
And you decided, I better be naked for this. And you take off all your clothes, which I also think is a bad idea, because then when you saw her get lifted up, she was all covered in blood because she had fallen down into a pile of broken glass that she had created. So when it comes down to, if you're going to go on your rampage, this is my tip for the audience.
Okay, great.
Think about this. Honestly, thicker clothes.
Because that you can't take off yourself.
Don't let yourself get naked. I know you're going to want to.
Maybe that's why Trump wore his pants backwards. He was getting nude much at Mar-a-Lago.
He was looking back at better days.
Officials also said she had a fentanyl patch. So I think she has a history, and she needs to be doing better. We hope she gets the help she needs, because obviously this is not a sober person committing these crimes that she committed.
And you're going to wake up and not be like super pleased.
Yeah, she did throw a bottle at an officer's head, but it only hit him in the arm and then left a bit of a booze on his shoulder, which I'm sure he happily licked up.
I mean, honestly, we're not going to try to cover any more Casey Anthony fucking news on this show.
No, I'm so done with Casey.
But I did watch the TikTok. Someone uploaded to TikTok the cam footage of the cop, and like her whole thing is like, I'm still damp.
Oh.
Yeah, fucking bitch.
But you know what's so weird? We were just, because somebody also, when it comes to being infamous.
Yes.
Like the film Three Amigos. Infamous. Yeah. But when it comes to being infamous, it's both a heyday and a hell day. Because Alex Jones was just recently snapped in the bathroom with his hands just tucking in his shirt.
Picture at a strip club. Literally, someone posted it to, I guess, Snapchat. It was like, Alex Jones is in the same strip clubs I'm in, and he's fucking red-faced and hammered, and it looks like he's jerking off, but you know he's just putting his fucking hands in his shirt back in his pants. But it's still like your whole life is that you gave yourself up to the hashtag savage community.
Right.
And now they're all looking at you at all times and looking for content.
Also, can you imagine being at the strip club and then just looking and you're just like, what the fuck did Alex Jones is right over? He's like, oh, ladies and gentlemen, can I see your bush hair? Ma'am, can I see your bush hairs, ma'am? Like, how do you, I think you have to, I love strip clubs. I love exotic dancers.
Of course.
Think as a country, we need to be so much more sexually free, and the body is a beautiful thing and all different shapes and sizes. But I think I would leave.
It's
just
hard
because it would
bum
be
me
weird.
Out. He would bum, looking at him would bum me out. I wouldn't want to be where he's at, because I know it's going to be a huge fucking scene wherever he goes. And the people that are attracted to that scene, it's not like, I don't know, maybe this
also,
is bias.
You know,
this is 2010 internet bias, where back in the day, the scene that Alex Jones would cause, I would be happy to be a part of and looking and watching. Like, you know, when he took the raft into Bohemian Grove.
Of course. Right? Classic Alex Jones.
But nowadays, you watch him be like, I don't want to have anything to do with anybody who even wants to be like entertained by being in a 10-foot diameter of him.
But you know for a fact people buy him shots. I'm sure there's a massive contingent.
Oh, trying to get him fucked up as possible so he fucking wilds out.
Exactly. And then he starts, were you trafficked? Ma'am, have you been trafficked here? Like, I guarantee you that's what he's going to try to pull. Who cares that he was at a strip club?
No,
he's
that's
an
the
adult
best
male.
Part of him. That's the most relatable part is him at
but
the
I
strip club.
But I could see him explaining it away, be like, I was just seeing if they were going to be trafficked. I just was just going in there undercover. It's like, okay.
You could just trying to get your dick hard, man. That's cool. But also when it comes down to it, you know, you gave up the bag. Now you also called yourself a fucking performance artist. You did all of the shit. So now you're always the center of ridicule now, which is what you get for harassing all of the parents of the fucking
Sandy Hook kids.
Sandy Hook and all.
Yeah, it's a joke with no punchline. Casey Anthony and Alex Jones walk into a bar. And
great.
That's it.
Now I have to leave.
And now I have to leave because it's about to get fucking weird as hell.
Speaking of weird as hell, I'll also say quickly, the UFO report was dropped.
Buddy, I am okay.
It was
so,
dropped. Well, it wasn't officially dropped for our perusal yet, but the officers of the Pentagon went and they debriefed the U.S. government about what the report is. And
drum roll!
Oh, what is it? It's nothing.
Obviously, I followed the politics and stuff, and there's always like the big commission reports coming out, and then you wait 2 years
horseshit.
And shit. So you got to experience that firsthand, where
yes.
You were so excited. It reminds me of when I was growing up, this kid was like, dude, I'm going to get this thing called the Claw, right? And I was like, this is going to be so cool. He just told me how cool the Claw was. And he's like, bro, I got it. And I went over to his house, and what it was just something that you just pull
You pull the thing, and it's got the hand claw thing at the end of it.
He amped it up so much for me that when I first saw it, I literally was just like, that's what you were so excited about? I was never friends with him again.
But guess what you could do with the Claw? You could pick things up. You can use it as a tool. What can I do with this UFO report? Absolutely nothing.
Smash bugs with it.
I could definitely print it out and wipe my ass with it. I could you know, absorb spills with it.
Okay, but to be fair, it's as fine. We were talking with Sina Ghaznavi about this yesterday, watching the fake fight that was Mayweather and Logan Paul.
We were a part of the problem last night. You paid money. Well, you paid money.
I paid money. I'm complicit. I fed the tulpa. I apologize. Although the event itself, I do have to say, was very fun to get everyone together and watch people beat each other's brains in was a great time. Other than the Mayweather-Logan fight, which is like, knock this man out, but he didn't. Anyway. Cena was talking about how, and I think that this is credible, it's nice that the government even acknowledges it.
Sure.
Because that's a baby step.
Gillian Anderson at the Webbies. That's what the U.S. government
she
did to UFOs.
She regarded you.
Yes.
They wrote a tome about it. She didn't really. And that's when I met him. Short, stout, funny, loud.
Well, if I committed crimes, she would be able to describe me. You know what I mean?
But that's true.
Just in that moment. The UFO report came out. Basically, what they are saying is there is no evidence to point towards extraterrestrial life attached to whatever these orbs are, whatever the UAP is. But again, they're left like kind of a backdoor argument saying, but there's no evidence that it's not either. So it's they just came out and said nothing. They said we got an eyeball on it, which part of it, like, I honestly kind of want to say thank you. That the U.S. government didn't say it was aliens, because if they did, we'd all have to not believe it. And I would have to say this is a psyop, because it would be a psyop if they did come out and admit it, because there is no way, there's just no fucking way that the Pentagon is going to say, even if a E.T. in a fucking saucer, like old school, landed on the White House lawn, which is what we've been talking about for forever, they would never acknowledge it, because that information is going to be, they need to take that information, they all need to hire a bunch of, if they can steal them from any sort of sitcom writing room, they can take these Harvard grads and put them in a room and like have them all decide what it means. Because the implications are going to be massive. There's still many people saying that it invalidates religion, that it does. Because you also forget that half the Pentagon is evangelical Christian, too.
Oh, if not more.
So they wouldn't want to admit it's real.
Even worse, they might be Catholic. Catholic porn. That's what I'm calling Conjuring 3. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm calling it Catholic.
What I learned from Conjuring 3 is that I'm a nighttime Satanist, because they have daytime Satanists and nighttime Satanists. I'm a nighttime one. I'm like
they
the
have two different kinds.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And it's Satanists only. Only what I love is our only aim is chaos and our nectar is despair.
Okay.
I appreciate that.
Sure. I mean, I think it seems fairly
accurate.
Because
according to my family, I do create a lot of the nectar if it is indeed despair.
That is absolutely disgusting. So the UFO report, USO report, it came out and it was, at the very least, again, it was interesting that there was an acknowledgement. It took 70 years to get there, whatever it might be. So you wonder if they have aliens, if they're just going to slowly release that information. Because
Harry Reid said a couple of weeks ago
that they have a corpse.
There was a guy that told a guy that there is maybe a corpse, more likely some sort of object, some sort of chunk of a ship.
Ooh,
that
a
they
chunk.
Can't a chunk. That they have a dollop of a ship that they have somewhere that they're trying to figure out whether or not it is even extraterrestrial, what it means. I just think that they're not going to come forward. But the UFO community, I want to say, congrats, we made it.
Wow.
This is what disclosure looks like. We did it. We made it all the way through the process. Now things can go back to normal. We can go back to talking about tightly wound hairs wrapped around penises from alien women that we've been having sex with. We can go back to do the reptilians like tile floors, or does it distract them because of their nails? They a carpeted species? We're back into George Norrie world.
I love it. And of course, Harry Reid, he showed up with a black eye a few years ago, and he said, I fell down the flight of stairs, but I do have some inside information. A sex worker punched him in the face. That's what I've been told by someone very low down in the government.
It's because he fucked too good and she couldn't stand that he wanted to leave.
Well, you said it first, my friend.
Live from your grave.
Speaking of crazy supernatural stuff, Henry, you saw this video of this weird-ass creature walking over a bridge, right?
Yes, I did.
It's pretty freaking trippy.
Yes,
I think
I did.
I wish I could cut to
a video of you on a bridge after you said that, is an audio
I
medium.
Hate you. And I'm just going to take this away from you, so don't even worry about it. It took place in Hasbarag, Jharkhand.
Now, Jharkhand.
I don't know where that is.
I think that is in very, very East Ohio, meaning India. There is this story. This is now in Newsweek.
Newsweek is trash, dude. You say it like that, Matt. It's not in the Times, which is also trash, but whatever.
I remember it being like a real periodical.
I do too.
But I do like that they're covering it. It's fun. This is a strange white figure was walking on a bridge in eastern India. And this thing, it's fun. It's got a nice looking butt. If you watch this video, it's sauntering down the street. A bunch of guys in motor scooters are like watching it and honking at it, which they shouldn't.
Well, I mean, I don't know what you're supposed to do when you see a naked entity walking. It might just be a very thin, it's got a Gwyneth Paltrow-like body, but there's no hair.
None.
So there is something very unique about
Sinead O'Connor.
Maybe
a just also officially retired.
Wait, what?
Yep.
She just officially retired?
Yep, last week. She's out of the game.
But she's been retired for quite a while.
No. She was pivoting. Now she's retired.
Okay. She never should have had her career ruined by tearing up a picture of the Pope.
That's Lord Michael somehow still has that fucking octogenarian still has so much power.
He's still such a freaking little bitch. But nonetheless, she did have some massive mental health problems. Perhaps she saw something like this. So 77,000 people saw this tweet by Ashutosh. And then there's just a long number. And the video, they say the video has become talk of the town.
Talk of the town. People are assuming it to be an alien. And it actually could be. Keenly observe the 13th second of the video. A red Lapros wing UFO flying with jangling sound placed near Hazaribagh, Jharkhand.
Nailed it. So it's cool, man. And there's an actual video. And no matter what, as I think, Henry, you usually say this, no matter what it is, people stopped. They recognized that something was weird and trippy. I almost like the reactions of the people more than the entity itself.
Absolutely.
Because it does, like, something was there, something was fucking weird, and people were like, we're going to want to get that on camera.
This was another sighting that happened back in March. I guess it was according to the India's Ministry of Home Affairs. A 47-year-old motorcyclist claimed that the sudden appearance of a UFO is what caused him to fall off his motorcycle. He said, I was traveling home on my motorbike at about 9 a.m. when I witnessed a strange light. I tried to concentrate on riding, but what made me fall was the sound that followed after the light. I then fell off the bike due to panic. That's very sad. It gets very scary.
That's where they get you. That's why I don't trust the motorcycles. I trust motorcyclers. I think they're very brave in many
ways.
I get spooked too easy. I jump. I get scared, and then I would immediately die. I can't. Anytime I'm on the highway and I see someone on a motorcycle, and they're zipping and zapping through traffic, I feel like a mother. I'm just like,
hey, watch out there, you Hell's Angel. You gotta check your mirrors.
Yeah, please do, because it's just dangerous the way these motorcyclists drive sometimes.
But we covered an episode that we could have called The Relaxed Fit, but we didn't, called The Goblin Universe last week. And again, it's important. These types of things walking down the street, yes, might have been a person in a costume, sure. Might have been a person with some horrible skin disease that we're all looking at, and then we all call them an alien, and it turns out it's going to scar them for the rest of their life. Absolutely. I think that's more than possible. But I also think it's nice that certain things can happen in our general world that cause us to think that life might be more complicated than we think it is. And that's the control system, that weird person in a uni suit with the big butt.
Isn't that something? Also, just kind of tangentially related from my perspective is the drones.
Dongcopter.
Let's do Dongcopter.
That's a good one.
I'm just going to say one sentence because these drones are killing a bunch of stuff. There was also the thing in Orange County where a drone crashed and 3,000 elegant terns fled the reserve and they left all their eggs behind. So there's 2,000 eggs and none of them are viable because this drone scared all the birds away. The moms and the dads left their kids.
Okay. Because you said, read this right before. You said drone kills all
it
birds.
It scared the bird parents away from the bird eggs,
and then
now the babies are all dead.
These birds need to stick with their families. I'm gonna go as far as to say those birds were weak.
They didn't know what a drone. They're birds, man. And then all of a sudden, they're like, "What the fuck is that?"
You protect because your
they,
eggs.
They already. So if you're a bird and you look at a drone, that's like a human looking at a fully automated human being.
Cool.
It's scary.
But if I had eggs, I had to protect. I'd be protecting my eggs.
If you sat on an egg with that flat ass of yours, you would lose so many. You'd have to put them under your tummy.
My tits. I have two under my tits. I have one under my gut. But then I'd have a whole family of birds.
Oh, father of the year.
But these birds need to stick to your guns.
I guess. I think they were scared about this brand new technology they have never experienced in billions and billions of years. And that's why all those eggs are now just dead. And you can't even eat them because apparently they're all fertilized. It's just a bunch of muck in there.
My question is, you can't get the eggs. You can't pop them like in a egg oven or some shit.
Yeah, you know, whatever, man. I bet you. I'm sure there's some animal out there. I'm sure there's some like Komodo dragon who was like, oh, this is like a buffet. I'm sure somebody's happy.
Someone's gonna eat them.
Something in the animal world is thrilled that there's so many eggs.
Honestly, I know that it might be not what people are used to, but you could probably give it to homeless people to eat.
No, I don't.
Is that wrong to say?
Yeah, because I don't think it's food at this point.
But you could cook
it's
it up.
It's fully fertilized. Not eggs of birds we don't eat.
But they do in Vietnam. You could get certain, like, you get that delicacy where you get the egg and you eat the fertilized, the little creature. And sometimes it's a snake. You can do that thing. People eat those.
Yeah.
Apparently it's a delicacy there. It's like it gives you strength and power.
White people eat those on camera for clicks.
Yes.
That's what, no one eats that.
They might. It's like maybe. When I went to that one place, which I love, Night Market in LA. I absolutely love that restaurant. And then you go, and I think I've told this story before. They have a very, like, they're like, this is, you know, classic. This is from the home country. It's a rare thing. We serve it here. It's a water bug salsa. Like, it's water bugs, that like palmetto bugs that they grind up and they eat. And they're like, oh, we all love this in our home country. I think it's from Thailand. I'm not quite certain. And then I, you know, you eat it. And I was like, it still tastes like bugs. You know what I mean?
I'm sure.
Then you think it's just a prank on white people.
It might be. It might be. I still believe the same with Vegemite. I think it's a prank on any non-Australian. But then when we went there, they did exist.
They do eat it.
Yeah. Well, Henry, you mentioned, speaking of drone news and politics, there's this mayoral candidate who was this is what drones need to be used for.
I love this story.
I come out against the drone often, but this was an actual use of a drone in a positive, productive way.
So it's a New Mexico sheriff. He's trying to become mayor of Albuquerque. Apparently, no one likes this guy, right?
I guess.
He's Manuel Gonzalez, and he was doing some kind of speech somewhere, said blah, blah, blah. I wasn't listening to any fucking thing he was saying, because what hovered into the picture was a dildo attached to this drone that kind of drifted right in front of him. And you just hear one person in the back here, is that a dong and a drone? Which is incredible. They're all jumping, and you see the security officers jumping to get it, right? And so the drone keeps like bouncing out of their reach while they're all like, Garrr! And obviously it's this huge fucking deal because then they threw all of those guys into jail.
Well, they have branded this the Dong Copter, and evidently this is the second time the Dong Copter has harassed this New Mexico politician.
He dared to call them political operatives.
Yeah, they are real Roger Stone acolytes. I mean, he did love dildos, but for different reasons, and still does to this day. So they even have a Twitter account for the Dong Copter, and I just feel like, as you mentioned, the good Alex Jones, or when Alex Jones at the very least was attempting to, perhaps if he had any goodwill in his heart, perhaps it was Bohemian Grove.
Sure.
I feel like this is one of the best ways to heckle a shitty politician.
Of course.
Bring light to how comical all of this bullshit is.
Absolutely.
And nothing better than seeing him have to try to tackle a drone with a dildo on it.
You can see just how ineffective physically somebody that you might be scared of. I think that's really important, especially for these politicians. You forget, these fucking no-butted pieces of fucking shit don't do anything all day. They sit in a chair, right? They sit, and so we are all supposed to be so scared of these people. And then watching them jump after a dildo flying 6 inches from their hands really shows how ineffective they are as human beings.
Yeah, and I don't know too much about the actual politics here. Evidently, the dude is a Democrat. He was talking to 70 people at the Revel Entertainment Center, which I think that's where all political speeches should take place, at entertainment centers, because much like, again, the Mayweather and Logan Paul fight, most of it is just a work full of lies.
I really do want to see every single politician that wants to be anything should have to wear like a pig costume once and go on camera and say, I'm a piggy for America, piggy for America. I eat the slop. Like, I need to see you be embarrassed.
That's that episode of Black Mirror where they make the guy fuck a pig on a bridge.
That was the best episode of the entire series. And it was the whole time I was rooting for the pig. I was like, get him.
I was rooting for the man to have to fuck a pig on
camera.
Yeah,
that was great, dude.
What was he? He was a pedophile or something, right? They're like, fuck this pig.
No, it was the opposite. It was that they held his daughter ransom.
Oh, and so he was actually innocent?
He had to. Well, it was something that I don't think anybody's innocent that runs for office.
So the person who did this, apparently it was a 20-year-old Kaylin Ashby Dreyer, tried to get the drone back, but they didn't give it back. And then a scuffle ensued, and then Dreyer threw a punch at the sheriff.
He punched him in the arm.
Yeah, reportedly yelling, "He's a tyrant! He's a tyrant!
Sic semper tyrannis!" And man, that's so 2021, just like going back to Abraham Lincoln's assassination.
Absolutely.
With a fucking double dong dildo attached to a drone flying around.
I need to see that libertarian flag, but instead of a snake cut up, just a dildo.
Dildo chopped up.
So anyway.
Pretty great.
I don't think it should have been illegal. Fly a dildo drone at a mayoral candidate.
What is the crime?
I think it's probably like threatening a public figure.
With what?
A dildo with a drone on it.
It doesn't do anything to you.
Drones just killed a bunch of birds. And they're killing people.
They killed those birds inadvertently. Those birds
Maybe
were scared
true.
And then ran away. And guess what? Because they didn't understand in America these colors don't ruin.
No, they don't. They aggressively blow you up.
Live from your grave.
All right, this is the story of the day. I'm very excited for this story. The idea of people looking for murderabilia, right? The idea
yes.
of people obsessed with writing serial killers and creating sort of parasocial relationships on their own with serial killers.
Yeah. And what are your thoughts on murderabilia? Because I know you do have a few pieces.
I do.
But it's a little bit of a gray area because you also don't want to be like, "This is so cool. Ramirez touched this," because it's like, fuck that motherfucker. But then also there's a history aspect to it.
Yes. I think that you can hold those two thoughts in your mind and know that I have some tasteless objects, and a part of it is because it's a part of infamous history, and
yes.
I do have it. But you know, a part of it's also, I'm glad that they can't profit off of it. They shouldn't be making jack shit.
Right.
Like, it should just be for our amusement, not for them. Like, they are out of the game. So
right.
as far as I'm concerned, as long as they don't make a dime, who fucking gives a shit?
And hopefully the money is donated to groups that help victims.
And now that's more often than not.
Yeah.
But this is the story of, this is really, really interesting.
So weird.
This is a couple that had a dark hobby, this is according to the New York Post, where they would seduce serial killers by mail.
Yeah.
And it's pretty fantastic. They are, of course, flipping it to a podcast, so we will begin to hear some of this stuff come out. This is the story of Barbara and Richie Dickstein.
I'm going to go Dickstein on that one.
I love it. I'm very, very happy with them. But they created apparently they had relationships with at least 100 of the 100 serial killers.
Jesus.
John Wayne Gacy, Jeffrey Dahmer, Richard Ramirez, David Berkowitz, Charles Manson, Shaw Cross, Eddie Kemper, Bumblebutt, Carly Faye Tucker, which was one of their favorite. And they created these sort of, they catfished them.
Right.
By writing in to what they figured would be the type of person that they would be most attracted to, including with pictures and the way that they structured their letters. And they made these serial killers fall in love with them in a way that is fantastic, because there is some footage from it. We have some of the letters
yeah.
that they wrote, and they really did, like, fool these men.
Well, and let's get to some of those letters. And as far as, I mean, they went as far as, you know, faking sexual orientation.
So of course.
In the case of Richie Dickstein, he first met up in he was the one who had to go and approach Gacy and Dahmer, because obviously those were two gay men.
Yes.
So he wrote all of his tomes, all of his letters. He talked about how, you know, he was into them sexually. And
well, David Berkowitz and him created sort of a relationship as well. They actually developed a weird friendship because of it.
And Dahmer actually asked Richie in a letter to quote, "He wanted to see every unclothed muscular inch of you."
Yeah, dude, this is a lot of this. And
so there's a lot of hot stuff happening there.
Barbara got really close with Carla Faye Tucker. And
also,
she said,
can we say Barbara? She's kind of a gilf.
Oh, sure. Sure, but she is she's an interesting lady.
Sure.
But this is, so I'll first read, they got the Night Stalker to fill out a, first of all, he said this, like, one of these weird fucking things he always says, right?
"I used to go downtown LA to take pictures. There was a place where I'd go under the street. It was at a stoplight. I'd be able to look up the women's dresses as they would wait for the walk sign to change, and I'd take pictures."
This is a letter that he wrote back to them?
Yes. "You'd be surprised how many people walk around with no panties. You see Madonna at the MTV Awards? I was with Sean Penn at the L.A. County Jail. He was in jail for 30 days for punching out a camera. She came to visit him, and I saw her. She's tiny. Something about Hillary Clinton that I dig. Her calves and ankles are definitely healthy.
What is happening?
This is the kind of shit he says.
Richard Ramirez is janking it to Hillary Clinton while in prison?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. Why do we do this? What are we even doing with our lives?
Perfect woman or man? Superman. Wonder Woman. Childhood heroes. Jack the Ripper. Frankenstein.
Oh, you are so emo, Ramirez.
What I don't like about people. A lot of things. Biggest fear. None. Friends like me because who needs friends?
Oh my God, he's such a douchebag. He also said his favorite movie is Unforgiven.
Yeah, dude. Honestly, that's a good one if you're going to choose one.
Although he did get the favorite number naturally.
Yeah, 666.
He has
religious
to stay
thinking.
On brand.
Evil. Fuck yeah, dude.
But you know,
moron.
It's so funny because they do have so many detailed letters here, and actually, you know, obviously making fun of the fact they're going to have a podcast, but I think they did create a lot of content, so good for them.
Absolutely. And this is a story that then he goes to John Wayne Gacy. John Wayne Gacy is immediately, because one thing I've noticed too, especially since the Peacock docuseries about John Wayne Gacy, you realize JWG, he had a hard time making friends, and he had a hard time keeping friends. He was a bit of a needy friend.
He kept on killing all of them and putting him in his crawl space.
But he got mad because the guy wouldn't send him any pictures. He kept saying, you're not going to send any of these photos that you promised, huh? And then what he did is he tried to, like, get him going on, like, the guy that was writing to him, Ricky Dickstein was telling him, hey, you know, like, I'm going to send you pictures. I'm going to come visit you. I can't wait to suck your fucking dick. And then he sent him these pictures. I guess they must be pornography pictures of a character called Richard the Catcher. Right. And this is what John Wayne Gacy said back. I like the sticker of Richard the Catcher. But knowing me, I'd let you pitch every once in a while, too. Just like going to school again, you do it over and over until you get it right. Just like with that head over head, so you get it all to the last drop. Bet you're getting good at it, huh? So now all you have to do is catch the whole thing without losing a drop. Okay, be good. Stay out of trouble. Look forward to seeing some nice hunk photo shots when you get a chance to it.
Oh, man. There's something so Midwest about it. And then Jeffrey Dahmer responded, Dear Richard, oh, hello. How are you today? I just received your letter this afternoon, and I thought I'd write back. It's always nice to get mail from someone new. And then he says, I don't respond to a lot. I don't know who to respond to all the time. It's difficult to know. In your next letter, please send me some really good photos to help me make your letter stand out from the crowd.
That's what he does. It's like old school. It's like Chris D'Elia.
He said, you said that you're a bodybuilder. That's good. I'd like to see every inch of your unclosed muscular interview. I'm allowed to keep any type of photo except Polaroids, so don't take the pictures with Polaroid camera, okay? There's something so polite, human about it, as well as this. We're talking about a cannibal and a man who raped and murdered 30 children.
Oh, like, absolutely.
It's so weird to have this kind of almost mundane interaction with them.
Oh, it is interesting. The pen pal relationship is something else because it's safe, right? Because you also don't have to go see them.
Right.
So you don't have to go through the rigmarole of going through the prison system just to see somebody, especially a high-level prisoner like that. That must take an hours.
Oh, absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
But this is also, they said the one relationship they had a hard time keeping up with was old Charles Manson.
Oh, why? Was he a little scatterbrained?
They said that he's, quote-unquote, certifiable. And that he was difficult to understand what he said in his letters. And here's an example.
Hey, Richard, it's always good to hear from you, buddy. I've been here a few years working out of the hole again. Oh, well. When the others tell on me and make up stories, they want to believe because it adds to their job importance, right? So I got to go over the same old, so we can turn the circle and the chains of command. I know you've been used by some people who called me brother, and one day maybe we'll catch up. You and I are still solid as far as I'm concerned. I did ask a good friend to help me, and I explained. We'll be in contact. Easy. Charles Manson. P.S. If I could get out, could you maybe get me a job as a bouncer?
Is that a real P.S.?
Yes.
That is. So Charles was just sitting in his cell being
He's
like, if I
fun.
Get out, I think I'm going to go into this bouncer world.
Because you know how it is when you're 5'4", everybody's scared of you.
They truly are, though. Big bouncers are just for show. If you see a little bouncer,
very scary.
Be very scared.
Well, those are the Krav Maga black belt, dude.
Exactly. Those are the ones where it's like, how'd you get me on the ground, man? Yeah. What the fuck, dude? All right. So that's fascinating. And actually, I would love to talk with that couple.
I would love to hear them more about their story. But yes. It is wild because, again, is it exploitive of these men? Yes.
Sure.
But guess what? Do they deserve every fucking second of it? Absolutely.
And it's also a break from the mundanity. How mundane prison is. At least you get a letter from someone.
Absolutely. And if you send them a couple of fucking big hung, like, Beach Boys, they'll still jerk off to it. It doesn't matter if it's real or not. You're helping them. You're weirdly helping them fulfill a fantasy that they weren't getting fulfilled. So you, in a way, every single time you make Jeffrey Dahmer come, I think that you're allowed to steal from him as well.
Absolutely. All right. Well,
think about that. You made Jeffrey Dahmer come. Everybody else that made Jeffrey Dahmer come ended up in his fucking refrigerator.
Exactly. And I guess that's the interesting thing. I would love to know. It's called giving the rub, right? When someone is super successful and they put somebody else over.
Sure.
Like if you're a megastar and then you say, like, if Will Ferrell's like, Henry, you're going to be my number one guy in this next movie. He gave you the rub. He's putting you over. That's a massive thing. And, you know, people get the power. They get that power vibe. I just wonder if they also did it, the couple, if they did it for power.
Of course.
Because it's a weird, but like,
you get to manipulate a fucking super predator.
What a weird, like, power to even harness a little bit of. I don't want any of the Dahmer power.
You have his ear. He thinks he literally is being, like, he's rolling on his belly for you. He's showing you his underside.
I don't want to see him rolling on his belly. That's not good. Just very quickly, Scumbag of the Week, which is in a segment, but I'm just going to call it here. There's this Make-A-Wish CEO in Iowa, or this Jennifer Woodley. She embezzled $41,000, and she can just go, she's a bad person.
Yeah, that does sound like dumb, and it sounds
so
like
just don't do that, please.
Up.
If you're going to do Make-A-Wish, if you're going to run a charity, please, God, it's just so difficult for people to have faith in anything.
Yes.
And you do have to treat those jobs with a high amount of morality. You have to have high scruples.
Yes, you do.
Even as you see money going in one way, it's like, it doesn't mean that you can take it because there's a bunch of kids.
Because it is the idea of, that's just the lowest of the low.
It really comes down to it,
because you are just trying to take care of kids. And there's just so many other ways to steal money. Like, just don't tax fraud.
Sure. There's so many ways.
But besides taking money from the children.
Don't take money from the children. All right. Well, my last little tale here, this is just super, before I get to Hero of the Week, this is just super sad and disgusting, so I don't even really know what to say about it. But a dude back in the day, this was 10 years ago. So this guy killed his wife, but it was Christmas time.
Sure.
You know, because apparently Christmas time
is a high stress point.
Yes, it is.
Especially if you're not making a lot of money, you've got to keep up with the Joneses, you're sitting here, everybody else is getting all the shit, be like, mommy, I want the Ghostbusters firehouse. And then your father's got to go out and he's got to do whatever it is. He's got to go and arrest Val Kilmer.
Sure, absolutely. I don't think Christmas was going to be that bad because there was gifts. There was two children involved. And the problem is, the man propped up his dead wife during Christmas, and the kids opened gifts in front of her.
You're trying not to ruin the day.
I guess. And,
you know what I mean?
One of the daughters who is now 18, I believe she was 8 when all this happened, she was like, she remembers her mother being cold, and then the daddy said, mommy got drunk and ruined Christmas. And I just have a feeling that this man is more, I think that he's the one who ruined it.
He did it because he killed
mommy. And
mommy.
So anyway, that's just more of a... Just don't fuck up your kids that bad. You already killed their mom, and then you're gonna create that memory for them, and then it's gonna ruin a massive holiday that just comes by once a year.
I don't think he was thinking about it. I think that he was just laughing at Christmas Vacation. You know what I mean? And then you just get so sucked into the movie, you just forget. You're like, oh, I gotta get rid of this body. I don't have time. I want to see the part where I gotta get to him saying the shitter's full.
Yeah.
So you gotta prop her up.
No, I don't think. It seems like there was massive domestic violence that was happening for years.
It does seem like it. Or you had that big breakfast. It's Christmas morning. We do a big breakfast casserole.
Sure.
That can make you immobile for several hours.
Yeah, I don't think that was the case there. So anyway, this guy is looking at some significant time in Indra, rightfully so, because the woman that he killed, you see the picture there? She's a beautiful woman.
She is really beautiful. Honestly, it's an incredibly sad story, and it's a bummer that you brought it up.
It really is.
But what are you going to do? Hey, it's not Christmas yet.
Make sure that both of your parents are alive this Christmas before you start opening gifts.
You got to touch them. You got to really shake them. You got to really, really shake them.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Are we going to do Hero of the Week?
You have to.
Okay, we have to. Hero of the Week. All right, this week's Hero of the Week, it's going to be a 7-year-old boy. I feel like I've been, I was going to say a horrible sentence. I've been doing a lot of boys lately. But no, I feel like there has been a lot of children in the hero category. But it's a 7-year-old. His name is Chase Poust. His sister, she's 4 years old. She got stuck in a riptide. She was wearing a life jacket, but she was getting all scared and stuff. And he swam for an hour to help her, to help his dad and sister who were swept away. So this 7-year-old, he's a real hero, and I love that. He said, the current was so strong that my sister, she usually hangs out of the back of the boat, and she just let go, and I let go of the boat and grabbed her, and then I was stuck. And then it took a 7-year-old boy to save them.
That's so nice. Good for the boy.
It's good for the boy. He saved his father. And then, speaking of Christmas, you can milk that for the next 20 years.
Absolutely. You get that PS5.
You get whatever the hell you want.
Not only are we getting PS5, we're not waiting. You're going to get it from a scalper. Parents.
Absolutely. Oh, get it however you... The kids
get
saved your freaking
life.
Get
him a PS fucking 5.
Yep. So they got a bunch of resources out there, saved all three of them at that point. And
also, there's a lot of anti-scooter talk this week, too. There was a lot of anti-scooter chatter in our emails this week. They're commiserating with me, saying that we're anti-scooter.
That we're anti-scooter? I'm not anti-scooter. I'm anti-littering scooters. Same way I'm not anti-soda. Don't just throw the can on the sidewalk, though. And also, these scooters are going too fast. Do any gas pumps work in this country? I have a lot to say.
There's a lot that was just in that little topic.
All right.
Well, good for that little boy. I'm glad. And now we'll just, now that that child can live to be murdered by capitalism. So let's listen to some listener emails.
You can make a bunch of money, like, again, Logan Paul.
I mean, honestly. All right. This is a story of alien abduction. In 2011, my parents began to complain that every night I was either screaming at the top of my lungs in my sleep, sleepwalking around the house, or a combination of both.
Mm.
I began seeing
therapy.
Honestly,
the combination is horrifying.
So scary.
As you just walk, be like, honey, I think there's something wrong with our son.
Yeah, I know. I think he's got the screamies.
Oh, no.
I began to see therapy because my parents maybe thought I had some type of deep trauma that I was being forced out of while I slept via nightmares. Absolutely. I'm very good on your parents. At this point, I started having vivid dreams where I was being abducted night after night. Every night I would fall asleep and dream of bright lights and tall grayish white figures. One night the dream was so vivid that I was pulled out of bed by my feet, ripping my sheets off in the process, only to take a swing at one of the figures and waking to find that the figure was actually my dad trying to wake me from one of my fits.
Oh.
Other strange activities included sleepwalking into other bedrooms in the middle of the night and collecting as many books as possible.
Weird.
I don't know what my subconscious wanted to do with Jody Picoult, but okay.
Okay.
To make a long story short, I eventually started developing a mole behind my ear that was very painful. The doctors looked at it and were confused because they couldn't figure out what would cause it. Then came the burns. After bad nights, I would wake up with burns in geometric patterns, usually perfect triangles. I got very concerned and made an appointment to be hypnotized to see maybe if I could get some answers.
Hmm.
The night before the appointment, I had a bad night. At the time, I drove a 2000 Mercury Grand Marquis that did not have power locks and only had one key. I put the key on my bedside table and fell asleep. I had an abduction dream, and then I woke up. I was sitting in the front seat of my car, butt naked, 2 miles from my house. My key was still on my bedside table.
What?
The mole behind my ear was completely gone, and there was a triangle burn on my right arm. Since then, I've not had any bad dreams, leading me to believe that they were done with me, at least for now. I still wake up some nights at the exact same time of 3:28 a.m., and when I use the bathroom, I can always hear an owl cry, leading to believe they might still be watching. And the very last kicker to all of this is that I live in Middleborough, which is directly in the center of the Bridgewater Triangle.
Wow.
So that is very interesting.
Cool. Thank you for that story. That's fascinating.
But this is also one of those sad stories. I did have pictures of the mole and the burns in my last phone, but that phone fell out of my pocket while I was riding a roller coaster at Six Flags.
It happens to the best of us.
But this is very, very interesting. Obviously, people who have experienced these sorts of abduction scenarios, they are a lot of times traumatized and they don't know where it comes from. And then we also, during our series, Ghost Aliens Are Molested, we wonder whether or not, and it still holds up, whether or not aliens are a filter for trauma. Like, you see these things while you're getting your dick sucked. You don't know what's going on. But if your parents are so intimately involved in trying to figure out what's your trauma, then, you know, at least it didn't come from that layer.
No, I just don't know how we haven't sold a show with these great segment ideas.
I don't know.
All
right, here's another story. This is in regards to dinosaur ghosts. We talked about this last week for Goblin Universe. In 2014, I worked and lived on site at a wolf refuge in southern Colorado. It was way up in the mountains in the middle of nowhere. I was part of a small staff that took care of 36 rescued wolves and wolf-dog hybrids.
Oh, fucking metal. Cool.
Most of the animals had come from sketchy Craigslist breeders, shitty roadside zoos, the movie industry, and people who'd mistakenly thought that a wolf might make a good pet.
Aww.
Once wolves start to view humans as a source of food, they can never be released back into the wild. Our goal was just to give them a good home. Think Joe Exotic's Animal Park, but way less fucked up.
Okay.
There was a very strong hippie vibe at the refuge. All sorts of gurus and mystics turned up, hoping to bask in that sweet, sweet wolf spirit energy. One day, this Reiki master lady from Boulder, Colorado showed up. She was about 4 feet tall and dressed in flowing white clothing. She struck me as a self-righteous and super annoying, but everybody else seemed to be smitten by her. Still, it seemed somehow my duty to show her around the place. She and I were walking past one of the wolf enclosures when she came to a dead stop. She pointed at one of the wolves that was watching us warily from the trees. "What's that wolf's name?" the Reiki lady asked. It was Raven. She was a beautiful old gray wolf. The woman asked me if Raven had been behaving weirdly in any way lately. She had, as a matter of fact. I had mentioned it that she'd been slow to come down to her food, which was odd. People don't say wolf and it down for nothing, after all. She had also been getting along with the other wolves that she had lived with, but it wasn't like her at all. I thought that might be the case, the Reiki lady said. She proceeded to close her eyes and hold her hands out towards Raven. Raven seemed to be even less interested in this weird hippie than I was. After a few minutes, the Reiki lady put her arms back down. "She should be better now," she said. "Why? What did you do?" "Oh, nothing," the lady said, shrugging. "She had a pterodactyl spirit attached to her head. I got rid of it." And she said, "I just rolled my eyes right out of my head. But I'll be damned if Raven didn't start acting normal again."
Oh, she had a pterodactyl soul attachment. Of course.
Of course,
oh,
man.
Oh, my God. Who needs medicine?
Fucking, that's why every day I wake up and I remember, live your life.
Yes.
You got to bang those pods. Get those pterodactyls off your fucking head, bro. Because if not, you have got to.
I could go for some dinosaur energy.
I mean, who knows? Grow to love the pterodactyls attaching your soul.
Sure.
There's a stegosaurus raping my grandmother right now in heaven. That's got to be huge for her. But that's why you also just sometimes you gotta laugh, because it's so hard to. Because you know what the thing about these velociraptors? When they hunt in packs.
Oh.
And they don't come from the front. No, they come from the side. Shh, shh.
Whoa.
And they eviscerate you with one long claw. You sometimes you just gotta laugh at it.
You are such a scientist, a biologist,
you know,
perhaps.
Me. You know me.
All right, everyone.
You know
what
a fucking expert I am.
Thank you all so much for listening. We can't wait to see you at Red Rocks.
We're
going to have so
wait.
Much fun.
I want to give a shout out to my friends who made Sam and Maddie make a zombie movie.
Oh.
They are about two cool young dudes. Down syndrome.
Yes.
Who wanted to write a zombie movie. They made a big GoFundMe about it in a documentary.
Awesome.
It is now on Apple Movies. You can rent it. And it is really just one of those incredible stories about a human spirit and how the healing power of movies and how everybody just wants to make a fun zombie movie. It's
you
great.
Almost sound like your heart grew a few sizes.
Fuck you.
Yeah, that's very nice.
We got Madeline Brumby and Shane Morton that worked on Your Pretty Face Is Going to Hell. They did all of the makeup effects for it, and it's great.
Awesome. And as you know, we're doing stuff with The Last Prisoner Project now. So I had a chance to interview a fellow named Dante West. That'll be on this week's Top Hat. Fascinating story. He did three years for a pound of weed, and so we just talk about all those things that matter, and of course we make fun of a bunch of people as well.
The best part is that you can do both.
All right, everyone, hope you're doing well out there, staying happy, healthy, and safe. Hail yourselves.
fuck yeah.
Magustalations, you say Hail Satan. Hail Satan, and now you're dying. All right.
I have adult onset asthma. I don't, though. I'm better now.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.